Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on 2 days in the life of Jesus was recorded at our 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference. And now, here's Andrew.
You know what? God doesn't pick the way men do. If we were picking, if we were wanting somebody to represent us, we would go through here tonight and we would see the people who are dressed the best, who present themselves the best, the people who have the best degrees, the people with all of the talents and the gifts and things. And those are the kinds of people that we want to choose and make them our representatives and our employees. It's like God was putting out a help wanted sign. And he says, if you're base, if you're nothing, if you're despised, apply within. Some people can't understand that, but it's because none of us in ourselves are worthy or sufficient to represent God. You know, in the religious realm, there are people who use their goodness and their talents to meet the needs of people, and to a degree that's good. But the Christian life is not just you taking what you have and blessing people to the degree you can. God tells us to go out and heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. The same works that I did shall you do also. There isn't a person in here that has the ability to do that in yourself. There's not a person in here that can heal the sick, cleanse the leper, and raise the dead, and do all of these things. God isn't asking you just to give your best and to do these things. No, he's wanting you to let his supernatural power flow through you so that he will get all of the glory. He wants something to happen that is beyond yourself. And the truth is, see, every one of us have this power on the inside, but we look at our own natural talents and abilities, try and meet the needs in our own effort instead of doing it supernaturally. God is wanting to flow through you supernaturally. And I can promise you that God is going to call you to do something that is beyond yourself. If you think, well, I could do this. This is something that I could do for the Lord. And so you spend your life dedicating yourself, doing something good that is within your talent pool, your abilities, and you just give it to the Lord, then I doubt that you found God's will. God is going to call you to do something beyond yourself. Like me, I was an introvert. I couldn't look at a person in the face. I couldn't talk to them. This would have killed me to stand in front of 1,000 people. I'd have died on the spot. I couldn't do it. And God called me to speak in front of millions of people so that I'd have to depend upon him. And he's literally changed my life. God is going to call you to do something that's beyond yourself. And very few people do that. Most people only go as far as they can accomplish by just educating themselves, training themselves in the natural. But God is going to call you to do something that's supernatural. And so whatever you've got, it may not be much, bring it to Jesus. Jesus will take nothing and multiply it. The problem is, with most of us, it's not the fact that we are not enough. It's the fact that we're too much. I don't know if you understood that. But it's the fact that you are too dependent upon yourself. You think, God, you just get me introduced. You can let me up on the stage. You draw the crowd and I can handle it from here. That's the exact reason that God hadn't used you. It's because of your own self-reliance. There's something godly about doing something that's beyond your ability. About knowing that, God, if you don't come through, I'm dead. There is no plan B or plan C. I can't do this in myself. God, I have to have your supernatural power. That is a wonderful place to be. I had a man come to one of my meetings in Denver. This has been many years ago, and he had been called to the ministry. And a lot of things happened. His wife got mad and did not want to be a part of the ministry, wound up divorcing him, his children with his wife. And for 12 years, he had been just grieving and struggling because it didn't work out. And he came to a meeting that I held at the Phipps Auditorium in Denver and heard me minister, saw people, blind eyes open, deaf ears open, miracles happen. And he wrote me a letter afterwards. My mother brought it in to me when she opened the mail. And he told me a story, and then he says, I thought that God couldn't use me because of all of these things. But he says, after hearing you and seeing God use you, I decided I'd go in the ministry. If God could use you, He could use anybody. And my mother thought that was hilarious and brought it to me, and I knew exactly what He was talking about. If I was God, I wouldn't have picked me. But you know what? God chooses the weak things of the world. God glories in taking five little fish and or five loaves of bread and two fish and feeding multitudes of people. Because, man, people look at that and they didn't credit that boy and say, look what this little lad did. Well, the little lad had a part in it. He gave his meal to the Lord and was willing to share. But you know what? He didn't feed those people. This was God. God gets all the credit when 5 or 10,000 people get fed with next to nothing. Boy, when you recognize that, God, I'm not sufficient. God, I can't do it, but here I am. I'm available. Boy, God loves that kind of thing. And so those of you that feel unqualified, you qualify. Those of you who feel qualified, you aren't qualified. You aren't God dependent yet. God's going to bypass you. He wants you to get to a place where you say, God, help. And so He said, bring it to me. And so they brought this food to Him. Verse 19, it says, He commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And He took the five loaves and the two fishes and looked up to heaven. And He blessed and brake and gave the loaves to His disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. We don't know how many women and children there were, but there was 5,000 men. I imagine there was a minimum of 10,000, maybe 15,000 people that ate off of this. And there's two things I want to bring out. I'm going to have to hurry to say this because, again, these are things I've meditated on thousands of hours. This has just revolutionized my life. It says that He took this bread and the fish, and He looked up. You know, in the Greek, the word that is used here is anableppo. It's a compound word, and the word ana can mean two different things. It means up, or it can mean again. And then bleppo means to see. There's a number of times that this word was translated, people receive their sight, like in Mark chapter 8. It talked about the man who was in the town of Bethsaida and he looked up and received his sight. And there's 15 times in the gospel that this exact same Greek word was talking about that your eyes are opened is what it literally means. Your eyes are open again or you see with your eyes is what it's talking about. And so when it says that he looked up, the point is that this isn't talking about that he just raised his head. It means that he saw again, our double sight is the way that one of the person who is explaining this in one of the things, it means to see twice or to see again. You know what this is talking about is Jesus saw with his heart. He saw by faith is what this is talking about. It's not just saying that he raised his head, elevated his head. It's talking about that he saw the potential in these little five loaves and two fish. The disciples, the problem with them was they were only looking at things in the natural. All they could do was see with their physical eyes. They couldn't see with their heart. I've got a lot of teaching on this. One of my favorite things to teach on is out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, especially verse 18, where he says, we look at things that cannot be seen. That sounds like contradictory. How can you look at it if it can't be seen? Because there's things that you can see with your heart that you can't see with your eyes. And then down in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, after he had described about heaven and how we have a spiritual house or a spiritual body waiting on us, he said in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, he says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. The typical Christian life, the normal Christian life, is to see with our heart, to see things that you can't see with your eyes. That's the way that God intends it to be. But most Christians today are just the opposite. We are only going by our sight. We only know ourselves in the natural realm. If you go on down to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 16, it says, have you got that, Carol? It says, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. though we have known Christ after the flesh, now yet now henceforth know we him no more. This is talking about that he knows people by the Spirit. He sees people on who they are in the Spirit. If we did this, it would eliminate prejudice. There'd be no such thing as black, white, colors, nationalities, different. If we judge people based on the inside instead of the outside, we wouldn't judge people based on whether they're rich or poor, how they dress, and all these kind of things. We're supposed to be walking by the Spirit. But let me make another application of that same thing. Not only is this, we're supposed to know other people based on the Spirit, but most of us don't know who we are in the Spirit. We only know ourselves in the natural. You know, if I was talking to you on the phone and you were trying to describe yourself, you could tell me whether you were a man or a woman. You know that. You could tell me whether you're short or tall. You could tell me if you're blonde or black-haired or bald. You could tell me things about you in the natural. But if I was to ask you, who are you in the Spirit? Very few people know who you are in the Spirit. Very few people respond to the problems that they experience based on who they are in Christ. It's all based on their natural self. People come to me all the time and say things, basically, I'm only human. What do I do? And that's because you don't know who you are. You aren't only human. One third of you is wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. One third of you is identical to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have love, joy, and peace. The whole time that you're sitting down crying and depressed and talking about how bad everything is, your spirit is rejoicing. It says, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. And your spirit is always in union with God. The truth is, you are rejoicing and jumping up and down on the inside. You just don't know it. You don't know what you got. And, well, this is not what I feel. Your feeling part of you is not the real you.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on 2 days in the life of Jesus. This 5-part series was recorded at our 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM240C for CD or RM240D for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the first CD when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, I'd like to thank all of the partners of Andrew Womack Ministries for making this radio program available. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be able to broadcast on radio and on television. And if you aren't a partner with us, I'd like to ask you to pray about becoming a partner. We spend around $1 million a month on radio and television airtime, and we give our materials away. It's not covered in just the cost of the things that we give away. If it wasn't for partners who gave over and above what it cost to put the gospel out to you, we could not continue this ministry. So if the Lord has blessed you and you would like to see other people blessed through this ministry, I'd like to encourage you to pray about it and then call us at 719-635-1111 and become a partner today.